Welcome back to Crooked Spine Show. Here we talk to Monica of Music Tree. This is a music school where she started about 3.5 years ago on just a few $100. Now she's grown her students to a large amount, which she's had to hire more staff and also previous students to come and work at her school. Her purpose here is to help kids understand not only music, but use it as a form of therapy for kids, for adults, for teenagers, and even seniors too, to allow them to decrease stress and increase confidence, get them to learn a new skill. And at the very end, she talks about once a year, she puts a show together called the Music Theater Workshop, which you all have to attend. Let's go right to the talk, and I'll see you afterwards. All right, here we are. I'm Dr. Tony, the host Crooked Spine Show. This is Monica, the owner and everything of Music Tree in Pomona and other franchises to be known. Let's go over your story. Part of our podcast is really how do we get kids to stay healthy, even adults too, and understand how to de-stress so overall our body cannot be affected by conditions that become medical because our bodies get worn out. Mm-hmm. Okay. Tell me your story first, and I always go through this, not your credentials, but how you started this process and how you became a studio.
Well, how I started about 3.5 years ago, and music, actually starting a music school was the outlet for me. My dad passed away suddenly in a car accident, and the same night that my dad passed away, I had to take guardianship of my little brother. And so at that time, I was teaching at another music school, but I realized that if I was going to be taking care of my brother, then I wanted more freedom. And I realized that, you know what, like, life is short and it's time to take a leap of faith.
Okay.
So I took a leap of faith. I had $750 left in my account.
Wow.
And I found a little room for $350, and he wanted $350 first month's rent, the deposit was $350.
Okay.
And I said, I'll take it.
This is the place next door, correct?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, down the
little
hall.
The little
room is where I started.
Got it. Okay.
And then I would sit in there playing piano and I would practice and.
Were you a musician before?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've been studying music since I was 13. Mm. So over 15 years now.
Jeez.
And then basically I would just sit there and I would just that was my way of coping. My way of coping and getting through the darkest time of my life and the most painful time of my life was opening a music school. Music is what pulled me out, and music was what kept me going and believing. Like, you know, I used the energy and I think the pain of like missing my dad, and I just like poured it into my school. So the first year was just I had my head down. I just poured my life into my school. Like,
it became
my music.
Your passion per se. That's all you did.
Yeah, that's all. It was what I had to keep me going.
Wow.
And my little brother, you know, for people that have kids, I can understand now. It's like you look at your child, and my little brother now is 100% my responsibility.
Yes.
And I
just
had
off just overnight.
Yeah, I was. I call myself a smother, a sister mom, a sister mother. And then you realize like this person needs to be your why and not your excuse. And so I just put my head down and I ran and. I would just, you know, meet people. People would hear me singing through the hall, and people would find me, and just, I don't know, people came.
It's like almost you did, even though in my mindset I'm thinking, you focus on so much on that, people just saw your focus and wanted to be part of it.
Yeah, I think definitely the passion, and, you know, I've been teaching in schools and different music schools for a really long time now, so probably for the last like 10 years.
Okay.
So people knew about me. Someone was like, oh,
okay.
Miss Monica has a school. Like, we just found out about you. Or like, I did a lot of like bartering work. I met people that were really great at like doing websites. I met people that like were trying to learn how to do AdWords, and I said, let's work together. Like, let's help each other grow.
I'm talking about medieval times type of bartering.
Yeah, like, you know, I give you piano lessons, you get some guitar lessons, like, come on over to my studio. And we were just, like, working together and, like, creating this community of, like, helping each other grow. And
fantastic.
I just happened to meet all the right people that, like, you know, I had somebody do my AdWords the first year. And what happened was he was doing such a great job that there was 1 month that all of a sudden I had, like, I don't know, like, 80 leads. And I was just like, it's just me by myself.
Like,
what am I
going
to do?
What is going on? I'm getting too big.
Yeah, and I'm like, I need to hire somebody. And I couldn't even capture, like, 20% of the leads from that because All I did literally was say, I'm going to start a business. I'm going to follow my dreams. I want to do music all day long.
You knew step one.
That was all I knew.
Step two yet.
Yeah, all I knew was to run. And then I looked up and I was like, oh gosh.
I
like,
need water. I need to figure out where I am. I need clothing. I need lodging.
That's exactly what I did.
Okay, how do you get the next step?
The next step at that point, I started reading.
Okay.
So my first year in business, all I did was look down and I ran. And I did everything I could to... get as many clients as I could as possible.
Just get a business going.
Yeah, and then
I
looked up and I was like you said, all those basic things like my infrastructure, my systems, like, oh my goodness, what am I doing?
I have a business. What is it? Is how I'm going to keep it going?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And so in my second year, that's when I realized I had no choice but to, I went on like a little vacation and I sat down. I wrote all my goals out. I wrote everything that I wanted for my life to create the life I wanted, but how was I going to get there? And I realized I needed to work on myself and become the best person that I needed to be. So I started reading books. I started basically just any kind of business books.
Okay.
I reread Think and Grow Rich.
Yes, huge.
I read You Are a Badass. I started watching Gary.
It's language. This is for normal people.
Right?
Language. iTunes is gonna ban me.
I read. What else did I just kept reading? I just kept reading different
books.
Did you
have mentors too? You had mentioned any mentors?
Yeah, I had some. I had mentors, and then I would just ask questions. Like I said, I have always run into people that have, I think, really have been beneficial. You know, like I've met other entrepreneurs and people that are maybe like a lot bigger, and I'm like, can you tell me like what I need to do? You know,
I'm here. What do I need to do? I've gone far enough. What I have to learn, do,
exactly,
figure it out. That would be the next step, next step, next step.
Yeah, and okay. I got rid of my TV. I still don't own a TV.
Fantastic.
I actually think I'm going to buy a TV this year.
Okay.
I think I've earned it. But for 2 years, I didn't own a TV, and all I did was listen to podcasts, listen to like TED Talks, listen to like read a book, or work on my business. And I said, I'm not going to do anything until I get to where I need to be. Until, you know, I want a business that's going to impact the community, and I need to work on myself. And then I was like...
What year was that? Was that this year, last year?
I would say that was going into...
The race to talk about was zero, basically 3 years ago, zero, to one, to two, to three.
So zero to one was kind of my head down.
It's rocking.
And then going into the first year, I was like, okay, expand.
Okay.
And I was like kind of learning, but still kind of going through the motions like, okay, I need to get more. But the mistake that I made in my second year was that I stretched myself too thin.
Mm.
I thought like, oh, I'm the business owner. I'm going to work here. I'm going to do here. I'm going to do that. And then I was like knocked out. I was doing too much.
Yes.
And my infrastructure, that's when I realized my infrastructure was failing because we were missing appointments. We were, I wasn't making phone calls on time. I was missing all this stuff. And that's when I was like, oh my goodness, I need to get a system in place.
Huge.
So then in January of this year.
Of 2017, okay.
Yeah, so that would have been like going into
ago.
Like two and a half year mark.
Okay.
Our birthday is in April.
Okay.
So going into January is when I created that list and I said, oh gosh, what do I need to do next?
Got
and
it.
That's where I changed my life. I started working out, getting up earlier, started doing yoga, meditating, reading books. Finally went digital and got new software and started willing to put, I guess, the money out that I needed to create a better business.
Well, the ROI is going to be positive as long as you see the big picture.
Yeah, so I had to think better. But I also was in a place where the first year I grew so fast.
Was
this
yourself or did you have other staff around the first year, second year?
The first year was me, myself,
okay.
And then by that time I hired two other people.
Okay.
And then going into January, so I had four people in January of this year.
So you had four people going into almost your third year, which is this last year.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
So in January of this year, we had four people and that's when I said, okay, I need to be better. Like I need to work on being a leader. I need to do this. What else? Like, what do I need to do? And also, by the way, in January, I realized that's where I got too complacent because after I did the numbers when I got back from, you know, taking a trip, I sat down, I did the numbers, and a lot of times in music schools, if you don't continue to keep growing,
yes.
By the two-year mark, you see kind of a flush
mm-hmm.
because those kids are like, oh, we want to do soccer now, we want to do gymnastics, we want to do this. And so I counted my numbers, and I don't tell a lot of people this, but my numbers, I was at 36 students.
Okay.
At 36 students, I was not going to be able to pay my rent.
Overhead is here.
Yeah.
And your income is here.
Exactly. Okay. I wasn't going to be able to pay my rent.
No.
I wasn't going to be able to pay my, like, my payroll. I wasn't
going to do. You weren't a big empire by then either. This is just...
No. And so that's when I made the decision.
Okay.
I made the decision in January. So from January 15th to February 15th, we doubled our numbers.
What?
All I did was I did a social media contest. I did the things that were supposed to make me uncomfortable. Got on social media.
Welcome. Watch your language, but welcome.
Right.
Fantastic.
Got on social media. Started
well,
asking
that's
people
one
to
thing
yell.
You learn on social media. So I'm telling people that they go, I don't like social media, but that's what you do all day long. You learn, that's where you learn your business. That's where you watch, listen to podcasts, watch videos, even on your own books too. But why wouldn't you want your cell phone there?
Yeah. And people don't realize like that so many people are willing to help. If you don't ask for help, no one's going to help you. You need to ask for it. And so I started asking for help. I said, you know, do you guys know anybody that, you know, you might want to bring to our school and this and that. And so just to keep the story short, from January of this year, we had 36 students. And now in December, you know, kicking off going into January, you know, of 2018.
A year later almost.
We are at 176 students.
What the heck?
And
sorry,
my life has changed considerably in the last year.
Well, you've understood how the system works. And now you understand, okay, if I have a system in play, like some companies hopefully understand, and now in the future, you don't have to worry about paying the bills, about calling that person. You have people doing that. You delegate more.
Yeah.
Focus on just the kids, just the adults you want to work with to have higher quality clients so they give you the personal referral.
Yeah.
Again, medieval times. The best referral is a personal referral, word of mouth.
Yeah, definitely.
Always is. So even though we have Yelp, we have Google reviews, we have things like that, which are great to have, you want to focus on personal because that tells you you've done a good job with your clients, right?
Yeah, and once they hear from someone that already has experienced your service, they know.
Good.
And so, and then, oh, by the way, we went from 4 teachers to now I have a staff of 10.
Amazing.
So.
Good.
Yeah.
So now you have a system down, you have the right people on site too. How do we get back to how are we helping people? Now that you have this base, how do you maintain that by getting more people to understand what you do? And what do you do? How do you help people? If you want to call it your own personal story, music was a therapy for you. Have you progressed that on to other people, the same experience with your clients?
I would say, yeah. Basically, I share with people that when they come into Music Tree, that when they walk through these doors, that that I want them to experience like love, joy, and peace, and like a deep-rooted, fruitful music education, meaning that I want like fruit that's everlasting, like good fruit, because you don't eat like, you know, fruit from a tree that tastes bad. You're not gonna, you know, you don't want.
And
if
you have bad, let's not go that fruit. You're like, I don't like that because that gave me a bad taste last time.
Yeah, and you want to have that, and so I think like, and I really share with people that, you know, if you don't give up, if you practice and you work hard, like you're gonna make it. Like you can do whatever you want. That you can achieve being a good singer. You can achieve being a good piano player. What's really great about Music Tree is it's not the typical, like, you know. And I've worked for other music schools like this. Like not the typical like music school where, you know, like you have to be at this level. Like we take you at any level. We take you up from 3 years old all the way up to adults. And this is a place where you can come in. You can feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
You can feel like you're expressing yourself through music. We're planting a seed and letting that seed grow.
And for a child, too, what I've seen in the past is when you give a child, hey, look, let's start you here and build you up here, then here, and here, and here. What does that build in their character?
I mean, it gives them confidence.
Huge.
So the confidence and everything here, you know, when I interview teachers and the way that I train everybody here is everything's about positive reinforcement, making sure that these kids are, that they're learning, you know. They get 30 minutes or an hour a week and they're sitting here, and that time I tell the teachers here, you better make sure that you're zoned in on that child and that 110% of who you are is on that child, that this lesson is theirs and everything's, you know. And you know, you're giving them praise, you're helping them, you're letting them feel safe, and that's a chance for them to flourish because they're, you know, getting confidence, self-esteem.
Huge.
Learning discipline,
self-confidence, self-esteem is massive. And when you spend, when you're with a child, and for me being with my patients too, when you're with them, they see that.
Yeah.
The parents see that. You don't do it for the parents, but you do it for the kids. Kids leave and go, wow, I had a great experience. I had a good time. I can't wait till my next lesson.
Yeah.
You want that response, I think, from your maybe a kid or an adult too. You want to see that energy increase when they leave. wherever they came in, for me, whenever they came in, even if they're sad and pain, whatever it is, as a chiropractor, I want them leaving a little bit better. Maybe just emotionally, not in pain yet, they have more hope. They have a sense of, okay, I'm at the right place.
Yeah.
I know where I am.
Yeah.
That's great. Good. Good. And you said with kids too, are they more based on learning how to sing, learning how to play an instrument, or what do you work with them?
Depending on the age, if they're really young, they get a little bit of a mixture. We have something called First Notes and ABCs, where it's for 3 to 5 year olds. And so they're learning their phonics at the same time and letters.
What are phonics?
So like A says A and A says A.
Every
letter makes a sound. Yeah. So parents don't feel like, because maybe not everybody's into music.
Yes.
So
parents have,
you know,
may have no parent. I have no idea what soccer was. My kids don't like soccer.
Right.
And I have no idea what music is because I'm not a musician.
Yeah.
But how do you, as an instructor, see the kid light up? Parents go, I'm at the right place with my kid.
So they come in and in the really young stages, they are learning other things that are going to also help them for moving on in life, like, you know, going to kindergarten or something.
Good.
So I made this program where they learn their letters, their colors, and they kind of mix it in together, and they learn a little bit of music appreciation. They learn how to read their notes. They learn how to write them. But they're doing it through play and through fun. And we
what age group is this?
3 to 5.
3 to 5, okay.
And so I have some 2.5-year-olds that actually do it.
It just depends on their ability to come in, right?
Yeah, you'd be amazed. Like, 4-year-olds can read music and play with both hands because they're learning through color. And they're learning through, we're trying to hit all the senses. Like, you know, they touch it, they see it, they hear it. And it's amazing.
Well, it's like they say, I mean, a kid can learn 3 languages by the time they're 70 years old. Same thing with music?
I would say so, yeah. Well, music is a language.
Huge, right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. She just put it in my,
yes,
voice.
It's a language.
And then after 5, what's your next age group you work with usually?
So it goes all the way up to adult.
Okay.
The most popular age group that we have here, I would say, is anywhere from 5 years old up to about like 14, 15.
Okay.
That's like we have a really huge group of young ones, and then after that, it's kind of like, you know, 10-year-olds, and then a little bit of high school. But we also have a pretty big age group of adults.
Oh, really?
Adults come here.
We'll go back to the teenage group too. The say, for example, elementary school, junior high, maybe a little bit of high school too. What is their forte, and what do they want to accomplish?
Some of them just want to accomplish learning how. A lot of them come here to sing or play piano.
Okay.
They want to learn how to sing or maybe get better so that they can like audition for a show at school.
Yes.
A lot of parents will say, you know, they've showed interest in singing, but they're really shy. And so we
That's
have something
huge.
Here called the Musical Theater Workshop.
Okay.
And I mean, it makes me so happy to
this
see.
This is your forte. This is what you do.
Yeah.
Right?
Musical theater
okay.
is like my passion. But we have musical theater workshop, and the kids come in and they get like a 3-hour class every week where they're learning how to dance, sing, act, stage presence, how to audition. And it's the same group of kids, and they're around each other. And because it's not a competitive program,
yes.
it's just meant to teach them, you know,
no.
prepare them for if they want that. But that's not what it is here at Music Tree. And to see the kids that come in here so shy and afraid to... and afraid to even like open their mouths at the end of a show, like
yeah.
so confident, you know, and unafraid. It's just like, it's amazing what it does for
well,
them.
Well, you see that, and that's what I talked earlier too, is how do you build and maintain a kid's confidence, self-esteem, so when you're in here, they're having fun with saying about 10 kids.
Mm-hmm.
But when they leave here, they have the same confidence going to their school and going to their church and going to their groups and their family too. That makes them, and not say a better student, but it makes it easier to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Easier to be in an environment with other people, easier to raise your hand in class,
yeah.
to ask for help for ones who need help. It makes a better person.
Yeah, and I can't even tell you how many text messages I get every once in a while with parents saying, you know what, thank you so much. You know, my child wouldn't even stay alone after school at the, you know, before and ever since the musical theater program. Now, you know, he or she wants to try it for this thing at school.
Huh.
Or, hey, you know, Miss Monica, I got, like, they're playing this song at school. Do you think you could teach it to me? I want to go see if my teacher will let me play it.
You're like, sure.
Of course.
Great.
Yeah, come on over. Like, let's learn it. So, yeah, the kids are going out there and they're trying things because they feel confident.
But you build that bridge with them, or they built it, but you've been that mediator. How to get more confident, more sustained, keep going back to that. And music seems like a great way to deal with that. Do
yeah.
kids come sometimes just a stressed kid where it's hard for him to or her to kind of break down, let things in?
Definitely. We actually, we even have a handful of students, and I've taught over the years, many students that that are dealing with either parents are bringing them for stress relief, parents are bringing them because I've even had students that maybe are kind of on the spectrum for autism, or are dealing with other things like that, and they come here, and music is more therapy for them. So it's not necessarily like, oh hey, I have to get from point A to point B.
I don't want to sing in the opera, but how do I get myself to be more relaxed?
Yeah, like I'm here to just relax. You know, I'm just here to like, or you know, some of the kids like they go through a drum lesson and they come out less stressed because they were able to, you know,
focus on that versus on their stress inside their body.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
And I mean, it's so interesting. Like, so my little brother, for example, the one that I'm raising, one of the coolest things that he had said to me like a while back, it's just coming to my head right now, but I think I was having a really hard day. I think I like blew up at home or something.
Like,
and I have
one of those.
One of those moments.
Okay.
And I was just like, I was like, what do you do like when you're mad,
yeah.
like, stressed or whatever? It's like, I don't know. I just don't deal with it like that. He's like, I just go and I play the guitar. And he's been taking guitar lessons with Music Tree since I opened.
Wow.
And so for him to be like, he's like, yeah, I just, he's like, if I just want to be in a better mood, I just play guitar.
And some people say, I can't focus on my stress, I'm focusing on this.
Yeah.
It's hard to do two things. Why not focus on this? It makes you happy. Helps relax your body, your mental state too, and let that kind of just go away.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
So definitely being able to express themselves. You know, sometimes I ask my students every once in a while, they're like, so like, what is music for you? And or like, why do you like doing music? And a lot of the answers I get is because it's a way that I can express myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way to escape.
Okay.
I get also, you know, it's given me confidence or it's taught me to not be shy. So it does a lot of things. Because, I mean, if you don't have confidence and you're shy, like, you have anxiety.
That's you can have either anxiety or you can have confidence. Can you be stressed or relaxed?
Yeah.
You can both.
Yeah.
And what I deal with a lot in my patients is movement to cause it to happen. You're dealing with motion at a smaller level and a thought process. I have to coordinate and stay in rhythm, per se, and especially being a musician, so I can focus on that, not on what's going on. It's when I don't move, then my body becomes more and more stressed.
Yeah.
And then to express themselves at smaller amounts. And what I have people do is work out, exercise, and do stretching and strength training. Yours is more of the mental part and the rhythm, I think. Is that how you explain it, of how they de-stress?
I'd say that, or it's because you're focusing so much on something else rather than maybe what you're stressing on.
You're being in the now almost, too. You're being in the present moment. So everything in the future, anxiety and the past regrets,
doesn't
and
exist.
People would say doesn't exist. You have time for that.
Just, you're just there.
You can't
like playing a piece of music.
Yeah, you're going to sound horrible if you're focusing over here versus just here, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm. The biggest thing in singing, a lot of times, is like I have to tell a lot of students, like, don't think about anything, just be. And it's like, what? Like, what do you mean just be? I'm like, you literally just exist.
Yeah.
Come on, just let the sound come out. And that's what's so beautiful about music. Like, it does something where you're just, like, especially you're performing, you're just in the moment. And especially for me, when I'm, like, singing, I'm like, okay, like, don't think of anything. Like, you just, you know.
Block it out, start.
Yeah, you literally, you're just there. You just exist.
But especially you want to have, I mean, you want to be good, obviously. I'm monotone, so you have no, you can help me. I'm useless. But overall, if someone has some talent, you want them to flourish. Because then again, that we talked before, self-confidence, obviously, they can become a better and better person. So they help somebody else to become a better person outside.
Yeah.
How many people come and have been a student here and have come back to help or intern or work here? Does that happen a lot?
It's happening more and more. Actually,
you're in three.
Year,
okay.
Yeah. So, but in the summer times, a lot of the kids that I teach at the high school down the street, they come and they visit me and they'll come and they'll do, you know, like stuff envelopes or do stuff like that.
No.
And actually, two of the new teachers that we have here were actually students of mine.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, like I always tell my students that are like, you know, working really hard, I'm like, keep working hard because, you know, you can come, you know, teach with Miss Monica one day, or you can come hang out here while you're in high school.
Awesome. And in high school too, do they move on to where they play in the band or join theater?
Yeah, a lot of
them
are in musical theater.
Can we talk about that group that is your prime group where 5 to say 15 years old, they actually go into that?
Yeah, a lot of them are either participating in school or they're part of theater groups outside in the community.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, and then they bring their music here to work on it.
And after high school, what kids have gone on to other things? What's the next step then, usually?
I actually have, in the time that I've been teaching music, I've had like maybe three of my students come back to me and say, you know, I'm going to study music because you, like, showed me that I could do it.
Wow. Okay.
I know somebody else that went into, like, broadcasting or something like that. It was the craziest thing because someone said to me, she said to me, and I didn't even think about it. She's like, do you know why, like, I went into, like, TV and I went into modeling and all that stuff? And I was like, no. She's like, because I remember you used to always tell me I could do it. And I was like, what?
So you're almost their teacher, but also a mentor at the same time.
Yeah, and I mean, I get, like, Facebook messages from people that I haven't heard from in, like, years. And they're like, there was this pivotal moment, this conversation I had with you, and you said this to me. Like, had someone say to me, don't do that. Like, I said to them, like, don't you dare make a choice like that because you're a leader. And then now they're, like, doing, like, huge things. I'm like, wow.
But you're with them enough to where you get them to where they may be here one day, and down here when you catch them here, they remember that.
Yeah.
They remember
and
that moment.
Being a teacher, a music teacher, is not just a music teacher. We think it is, but I'm sure maybe in your field too. Like, your patients come to you or your clients come to you and they trust you. And so you're not just what you're doing, but sometimes you're kind of the therapist.
Yeah.
They need somebody to talk to.
They don't want to talk to you. Everyone else is like, I trust you with my chiropractic care. I trust you with my music abilities. Maybe you become somewhat a friend to me.
Yeah.
I trust my personal life too.
You know, sometimes, and there's been times where sometimes I have to give hugs because people are crying.
Draw that.
Parents come to me and they're like, I'm having such a hard day.
Yeah.
You just give them a hug and tell them it's going to be okay.
Why not?
Yeah.
And become not, I don't want to say a therapist, but become someone that they can trust with their whole life.
Yeah, definitely.
You've helped them not only learn how to play music, maybe sing, maybe do theater, but now you become part of why they're getting the next step. You become part of their why they want to study music in college.
Yeah.
Or why they want to join theater, maybe in high school or outside of school.
Yeah.
And that health perspective, in my sense, is you're making them want to not go to something that may be bad for them.
Yeah.
If I'm choosing to do music and spend time inside a studio and at home practicing, I'm not going to go out and make bad friends, bad choices. I don't have time for that.
Yeah, definitely.
I see people that deal with something maybe in sports or music or band, there's no time to mess around.
Exactly. Yeah.
If you want to be successful at that.
Yeah.
And if some people make the choice, hey, look, I'd rather go there, phenomenal. Realize when you make, especially in high school too, it's your window, and when you're at home, you have no expenses, you have basically free everything, and you can make the best choices because you have all those opportunities.
Yeah.
Once you get out of high school, you're paying for your own things. I may not be able to afford my lessons and still eat today.
Yeah.
So then you have more choices to make. When you make them better in high school, I think, then your mindset is better to where you have better habits, where you go into a college or post-high school setting, and now your choices are easier.
I only
choose good things.
I think also along those lines is when you're busy and you're a child and you're going, you know, you're learning the discipline of like having to practice, having to do your homework, having to, you know, some kids do mute like piano and singing and soccer and gymnastics or something like that.
And,
you know,
so they go to school full time.
Yeah, and they go to school and then they have a social life. It's like, you know,
time for that.
Right? But it's amazing because those are the ones that are setting themselves up for success. Setting themselves up for when they go to college, you know what? I can handle this workload.
Yeah.
And I have this discipline. I know like how hard it is, or I know that I worked on these three measures of music for 2 weeks because it was that hard for me.
Yeah.
But I know that I can do it.
Their work ethic is already here coming out of high school, whereas most people are here.
Yeah.
So when they get to college, if college work ethic requires here, they're already above that. They go, this is easy.
Yeah.
If you skate through high school, and just high school kids in general, if you're skating through high school, not skater, but you just get by, at that point, you get to college like, this is so much harder because you didn't get yourself ready for that. You can get ready to hit the fastball versus the slow pitch baseball if you want to. And your adult students, after, say, 15, 20 years old, how do they use music as a therapy, or what do they use music for?
A lot of them, some of them are retired,
and
they're looking for something fun to do. I have one student, he cracks me up. He's like, I'm here. He's like, I'm doing music because I'm going to keep my mind. Like, you know,
I'm not going to lose it.
Yeah, I'm not going to forget anything. But the studies show that music helps with Alzheimer's. You know, you're constantly using the left side and the right side of the brain when you're playing with both hands and you're doing piano. But, you know, that's why they come. Or a lot of times I get adults that are like, okay, I have more time now.
I like music.
Settled. It's just, this is something I just never chose to do when I was younger.
Great.
And I just want to try. And we get to give them the confidence. And I think I see more adults crying in my studio than I see children. because they get to these moments where they're just like, oh my goodness, like, I could do this.
I've
like
had
these,
a
like,
whole
breakthroughs.
Life. I've done everything I wanted to do. Now I want to do something I really want to do, and I can still do it.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they realize that they're capable.
Amazing.
And then, you know, some of them do recitals, and they're shaking before they get up.
So it's like they're little kid, like, this is my five-year-old body. What's going on?
Yeah,
here?
And they're just so
wow.
proud of themselves. It's
amazing.
I love it.
That's great. So I remember seeing my oldest son, he's in music, and we're going to battle with a band, and there's guys in their 60s playing.
Yeah, it's
fun. And they're
fun.
And I'm like, what the heck is this?
Yeah.
They're just little kids.
Yeah.
You know? But they're out there having fun. They're having a blast.
Yeah.
That's great. Good. And with adults, too, what drives them to bring other people in, their friends, family, or how do you get them to come in?
I think that they're just having so much fun.
Okay.
And they end up sharing it with their friends. I have a lot of students, actually, adult students, that decided to join, like, a choir. Or decided
oh, okay.
to join choir, like, at church.
Yes.
And so then they end up telling all their church friends, like, you know, because they're, like, you know, they just want so badly to be able to get better at their craft.
Yes.
And so they end up, like, telling their friends, and then all of a sudden, you know, like, half the choir is going to music church.
Like, what the heck's going on?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of what you're getting is how do you find someone that loves what you do? At that point, tell more people. That's why you've grown almost fivefold in the last year.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
And I think the other thing is not only they love it, but that I love it, that the teachers here, we love it.
Amazing.
That, like, every day, like, literally, that a student that I get to sit 30 minutes with, I'm just like, there's some days where I'm just like, I'm just smiling. Or where I see breakthrough and I want to cry because I'm just like, you literally are making my dreams come true.
So,
you are my dream. Like,
it doesn't become work at that point.
Yeah, like, you students and the people that walk through my doors, like, you're my dreams. Like, you're my dreams coming to life.
And you help create that. You just give them the push that way. And now you've seen the results. You're like, this is what I hope for. And
yeah.
you have your tribe of not only clients, but also staff that support that dream.
Yeah.
For not only for yourself, but all for the students too. So that drives more and more people to this type of thing for their own therapy, their own confidence builder, their own self-esteem, to see them improve, become a better person,
mm-hmm.
and get that outside of here and become, to show that, be the example of, and they ask them where to get it from Music Trail.
Yeah.
That's my 2 cents. How my story would go. Anything else to add? What's your next step? How else do you want to help people become healthier in this sense and stay healthy?
So the next step is this year I started doing yoga and meditation.
Got it.
And I think, you know, the singing bowls and sound meditation is so powerful because music is the same thing. You're using sound to, you know, heal. And so we actually once a week offer a sound meditation and yoga class at Music Tree on Wednesdays.
Wow.
And so I decided, you know, for the next year, I kind of want to push that more and help people experience that.
Is it more for relaxation, more for meditation, more for both?
I'd say relaxation and being in the present, like being
yes.
in the moment. I think that a lot of us are just so busy in our day, especially as business owners, moms, dads.
Mm, yes.
We're just running around like crazy. We forget that moment to just kind of de-stress. And I think I was reading somewhere that, like, 60% of illness is because of stress.
Yes.
So if more. Okay. So a lot of the times we get sick because we're stressed. It's not even because I, like, you know.
And I'm going to say not because you're stressed, because you don't have to deal with stress. So it's called stress better. If we're not unhealthy, at that point we're feeding the stress. Versus if we do things like music, like working out, like yoga, like stretching, like walking, like listening to good music, at that point our body can de-stress and become healthier, tolerate more stress.
Mm-hmm.
I may get stressed driving down the street. Someone next to me like, yeah, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Because their body might be healthier to tolerate that more, so they don't get the overall physical, chemical, hormonal reaction in their body
mm-hmm.
to become tense over time, causing arrhythmia, causing high blood pressure, causing diabetes, causing to eat bad foods to feed the bad stress
yeah.
that you actually have ready. They
yeah.
become a different state of health, which people sometimes medicate, and this is my soapbox, medicate versus deal with it naturally. Figure out habits they can do outside of work
mm-hmm.
to get themselves healthy, but all have time. Okay, time's
yeah.
not a thing. We work, say, eight hours a day at a salary job. What we could do beforehand, getting up early,
yeah.
working out before the sun gets up, or working out afterwards. Or making
mm-hmm.
part of your workout, to maybe a mental relaxation, mental stress, mental break, or physical break, too.
Yeah.
You know, you've taught me one thing too. I focus on so much physical recovery and de-stressing your body. The mental part too, and I was talking to my son too, how music becomes such a therapy for people to relax and enjoy life and a way to de-stress your body so you can deal with that stress at a higher level and not have a physical reaction to it.
Yeah, definitely.
It's huge. It's huge. Again, that's my soapbox.
So I just hope to share that. Obviously continue to grow. Our musical theater workshop for it too. So it's our workshop where the kids come and they learn. We put on a show.
Okay.
We put on a show that has like different scenes in it, and the kids learn how to run their lines. They learn how to sing and dance at the same time. So we put on a whole show. And so this year we're anticipating that the numbers for musical theater workshop will double. This year is the first time that I did musical theater workshop in my own school. I've taught musical theater and I've directed at several other places and I've never done it in my own business. And I said, okay, I'm ready to take
it
on.
Are you ready?
It was a lot of work, but it was amazing to see it. But more people are learning about it. So the amount of kids that we have this time, I anticipate that it's gonna double.
Yes.
So just growing that program, and looking at another couple of locations to possibly open another branch.
Are there places like this already in Inland Empire or in, say, the nation that have something like this?
I would say there are very many music schools.
Okay.
And
okay.
I've taught at several music schools in the Inland Empire, and chose to learn from those people and turn some of my music teachers into mentors. But I would say what makes Music Tree very different is our philosophy of creating a fruitful music education, creating a really strong foundation, and creating something where they're growing and roots are deep, but it's not competitive.
Got it.
There's something different here. Music Tree feels like a family.
It's not, hey, I'm going to choose you over Sally because she's a better singer.
Yeah, no, it's not.
We're going to form a band. We're going to have a theater production, but it only can take 10 of you guys.
Yeah.
Who's the better ones?
Like, or it's everybody gets a part.
It's phenomenal.
I could have 50 kids, and somehow, some way, I'm going to figure out how you're going to get a little line. If you don't want a big line, that doesn't matter. You're going to get something. Every single, so this last musical theater workshop, I think we had 13 kids.
Okay.
Every child had a solo, and every child had lines.
Wow.
So if we have to rewrite scripts, we have to do things to make it so that everybody gets a chance. Here, it's about getting a chance that I don't want Music Tree to ever be something where it becomes competitive. Mm-hmm. It's like, I will make you good enough to compete. I'll prepare you to compete. You just won't do it here. You can do it out in the world.
You may have a 15-year-old here out of your 13 kids you've mentioned, 15, 12, 10, and 9, 30 different levels.
Yeah.
So why not give them something at their level and actually work with them there so you build their confidence up with their solo as they become from 9 to 10, 10 to 11, 10 to 12. They build that confidence, self-esteem, and competence. So once you get to that point, they can go to a high school theater and compete if they want to.
Exactly.
Or a college too, college level.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I like that philosophy.
Thank you.
So everybody wins.
Yes.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Good. All right. Anything else to add?
I think that's it. I mean, the first lesson's always free. So if anybody watching ever wants to come and check us out, you can come and do a free lesson. We have piano, voice, guitar, and drums.
Good.
I'm in our musical theater workshop, Mommy and Me class. Check out our website, our Instagram.
I'm going to put all the information to you, all the contact information, website, Instagram, Facebook, Instabook, all the books and grams out there for one, too. At that point, check it out because something to where I never thought about how do you use music as a therapy. And if you're a child or a parent who has a child that may not be very athletic and may not find confidence, self-esteem in athletics, why not try music?
Oh, yeah.
You mentioned kids that are autistic. You don't have to have a condition. But how do you find something your kid can do to enjoy that you may not have been a musician, as I was not, but something that may interest them beyond your own, expectation for your own child?
Yeah. And, I mean, it's growing now where there is people starting to work in music therapy.
Yeah.
You know, and I get, I've had people come to me and I've said, I don't have the credentials. I'm not a music therapist. I said, but I've read many of the books. I said, I'm willing to sit with your child and kind of see where it goes. And it's amazing because you see even some of these special needs students that come that are using music as therapy. It's the breakthrough that they make and the way that they are able to express themselves through music. They're like, they're brilliant.
And most parents don't want the kid to go from, say, being introvert, maybe having a condition toward they're not very social, to jump and to become the number one kid, the cool kid in the class. But can you get the kid to go from where he is now as a parent to a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more? This is where I think a good start is.
Yeah.
At that point, progress from there and gain that trust with a teacher like Monica and her staff too, so you see overall benefit for your kids. All right. Anything else?
That's it.
Monica, our first video I think was successful.
Thank you so much.
That one, we'll see how the next one goes. Thank you for the Christmas Mind Show, and see you for the next one. Have a good day.
Hope this talk with Monica today helped you understand using music as a form of therapy, as a form to learn a new skill and talent, allows your body to stay healthy. Not all of us, or in the very few, are going to be the next Beethoven or a high-end violinist. But learning how to play music, act in theater, even dance also too, allows your body to learn skills to de-stress your body, keep your body healthy. So the other things we do, going through school, work, stress of family, whatever it might be, allows you to deal with that properly and also in a healthy manner. At that point, we stay healthy and tolerate more stress. This is why Monica's Music Tree School has grown so much, continues to grow, as more people learn music as a form of therapy psychologically and physically. And again, in the show notes, we'll have all our contact information. So at that point, contact a school on the border of Mona and Claremont. At that point, understand how it can help you, your family, your kids, even parents too, and seniors, to get healthy and learn a new skill. And go to the show notes, see the highlights, see exactly what we talk about. And understand too, through that, you can contact your school and get a free lesson. That's what she does. That can experience how her school works. Also view other people going through the school, understand how helpful it can be for you and your family. Again, the Bob Show Notes, as we all do, we have our Facebook link. At that point, leave a comment, whatever you want to talk about too, let me know. We can get more interviews like these in here. At that point, help you understand how to stay healthy. Along with our podcast link, we'd love to have reviews there too. All right, so have a great day, and we'll see you in the next talk.